Even Christianity's bitterest foes praised the admirable quality of the lives of Christians. Now, Roman satirists. Remember we talked about Roman satirists two lectures back? But not only Roman satirists, Greek philosophers and large numbers of other people had pointed very often to the fact that in the ancient world there were people who espoused grand philosophies and led lives completely out of accord with the philosophies they espoused. That had become almost expected, that kind of hypocrisy. It had become the norm. Christianity was different. These people claimed to value certain ideals, certain ways of living, and then they actually did it. The heroism of the martyrs attracted people. Now, we'll have occasion to come back to martyrs in a couple of different ways in later lectures. But from the time of the Emperor Domitian in the late 1st century AD, Christianity was illegal. Now, Christians weren't always and everywhere systematically harassed all the time. But there were occasional outbreaks of harassment, of legal prosecution of Christians, right down to the very early days of the 4th century. And the way Christians faced their fate won for them the admiration, perhaps indeed the grudging admiration, but nevertheless certainly won them the admiration of many of their contemporaries. Christianity was a universal faith. It was open to all ethnic groups, to all social classes, to both genders. Most ancient religious and or philosophical sects, movements, traditions, groups, call them what you will, tended to be exclusive. They were based in a certain place. They were based on a certain group of people. They were based perhaps on a certain occupation. They were for men only. They were for women only. Christianity came along and said, this is for absolutely everyone, and for everyone equally. It wasn't more important for one group or another. The early Christians had a battle over that. Would Christianity be essentially a Gentile phenomenon or essentially something that remained focused on the Jews? They decided it would be a Gentile phenomenon without excluding the Jews. In other words, it would be for all people. Now, in some ways, interestingly enough, the opposite of that point is that Christianity was an exclusive faith. Christians could not simply add one more god to all the old ones. They had to renounce all their other allegiances in order to maintain a Christian allegiance. Christianity was compatible with many aspects of classical culture, but particularly with Stoicism. The brotherhood of all people, knowing your role and playing your role, accepting your position, understanding principles like natural law, universal right and wrong. So Christianity didn't come in utterly from left field as something wacky. Christianity sounded, the differences sometimes were only superficial, but sounded like other classical teachings. Christianity was an historical faith. Jesus had lived and taught in the present. Roman writers, Tacitus, about whom we spoke, mentioned him. This was not one more myth placed at the dawn of time, placed way back at a point where all reasonable people would take it to be ludicrous, preposterous, made up, and invented. Christianity had a particularly strong appeal to women. I mentioned, for example, that Jesus is quite regularly depicted among and around women. Now, Christianity early on denied women formal organizational administrative positions. That's true. But it's also true that Christianity accorded to women a kind of status, a kind of dignity, a kind of importance in their person, and it valued their domestic roles, and it valued their marriages, for example, in ways that pagan cults had not usually done. And as we'll see in later lectures, the way into the Roman aristocracy was through women. Christianity developed a large-scale, highly articulated organization. We've already started hinting at this, and in later lectures, we'll pick up more views on it. But no pagan cult ever had the kind of organizational structure that the Christian church eventually developed for itself. Ironically, then, the peace, the security, the ease of transportation provided by the Pax Romana aided Christianity immensely and helped facilitate in some way its spread through this world. Christianity was not yet triumphant by 200 AD. That would come by about 400. But if we were, again, wagering persons, we might make a wager in 200, whereas certainly in 33 AD, we would not have felt much inclined to do so. We have a Roman Empire in place and a Christian church in place. In our next lectures, we will bring these two things together and watch their twin fates in the world we call late antiquity.